Always keeping the main thing, thanking God for Jesus Christ, thanking God for the Holy Spirit, thanking God for his angels, thanking God for the church, thanking God for this congregation, thanking God for this day, this morning, thanking God for allowing me to be here, thanking the brothers for allowing me to come up and say a couple of words to you this morning. I pray something said will make you a better person for being here. My subject this morning is the will that had to be fulfilled by Jesus. The will that had to be fulfilled only by Jesus. It is taken from John, the 6th chapter, verses 38. But I would like to read to you John, the 6th chapter, verses 34 through 38 as we begin. And it reads, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh through me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." The will that had to be done by Jesus. The will that had to be fulfilled by Jesus. No one else could have done it. In this verse, the writer teaches us that Jesus came down from heaven not to do his own will, but to do the will of him who sent him, essentially declaring that his purpose on earth is to fulfill the will of God the Father, not his own personal desire. This highlights his complete obedience and submission to God's plan, signifies that Jesus' action and mission are solely driven by the Father's will. It underscores that Jesus' primary objective is to carry out God's plan and not his own personal agenda. So it should be for us. Jesus said he came to do God's will. And his will only. Jesus came to earth to fulfill his Father's will, even if it was painful and shameful. He believed his Father knew what was best. Jesus' life was an example of obedience, a perfect example. He taught his disciples to pray the Our Father prayer. Jesus' work were acts of obedience to the Father. He did what his Father wanted him to do, such as walking on water, healing folks, feeding folks, and blessing folks. Jesus' entire life was marked by a commitment to doing God's will. And God's will had to be done perfectly, and it had to be done by Jesus, the perfect example, the perfect one. There was none other that could do it but Jesus. We read in the Old Testament about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were good, but not good enough. We read about the 12 patriarchs. They'd done some good, but they weren't good enough. We read about the judges. They weren't good enough. We read about the kings. They weren't good enough. We read about the prophets. They weren't good enough. We read about the disciples. They weren't good enough. We read about the apostles. They weren't good enough. We even read about the angels. Even they weren't good enough. Then we read about Jesus, the sinless one, the only one, the perfect one. the only one who could fulfill God's will. He came to be a perfect example for you and me to follow. Amen. He came to show us how it should be done in the flesh. In the flesh. In the flesh. We have been known to say things like, until you live in my shoes, you don't know the pain that I go through. We have said, until you walk in my shoes, you don't know what I'm going through, or live in my shoes. You just don't know. And to some extent, that's true, because I don't know what you go through. I can't tell everything. I could see some things probably, but, you know, maybe your shoes too tight. Who knows? But anyway, but you look at me and you can't tell everything about me. Amen? And to some instance, that's right. You know, I don't know what you go through, or you don't know what I go through. But Jesus came down to live in all our shoes. He came down to walk in all of our shoes. He knows what we went through. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we will go through if we follow him. He even knows what we will go through if we don't follow him. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 10. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with feelings of infirmities, but in all points tempted, like as we are, but without sin. He gave us the perfect teaching, the perfect example of doing God's will in the flesh. In the flesh. Jesus is a spirit, but he came down in the flesh. In Matthew 1st chapter, verses 21, it says, he was born. He was born of a virgin. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He was born. Someone that says, you know, if he's God, why didn't he just snap his finger and make everything right? I could only answer that, but so far, I would tell a person like that, make it to heaven, and it all be answered to you. Because I just might not answer it like how Jesus could answer it, right? Because I see it like that. He could have snapped his finger and make everything all right. But that wasn't God's will. His will, God's will was for him to come down here and be that example for us. In Luke, the 2nd chapter, verses 52, he grew. The Bible says, an increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. In other words, he was a baby, and he grew up just like you and I, in the flesh. In the flesh. Remember those words, in the flesh. He learned how to walk. He learned how to talk. He learned how to read and count in the flesh. He was in the flesh, just like you and me, but without sin. Without sin. That's why we have no excuse today, no excuse whatsoever, because he walked in all of our shoes. He done something that none of us could do. He walked in every man's shoes. He know what's going on in every one of us right now. Somebody's sitting down thinking, did I turn the stove off, you know, this morning? You know, did I lock the door? You know, but I can't see what you're thinking. I'm just, you know, but Jesus know what you're thinking. He know what I'm thinking right now. He was baptized, Matthew, the 3rd chapter. Now, we look at this and we say, well, you know, well, why was Jesus baptized? Because he was in the flesh. In the flesh. In the flesh. And he was baptized for an example for you and me. He had no sin whatsoever. We got sin going and coming, and some of us don't want to get in that water. But he was baptized because he was in the flesh. John said to him, he says, I need, you know, John forbade him. He said, I need to be baptized of you. And you coming to me to be baptized? Jesus said, I must fulfill my Father's will. I have to fulfill God's will. And he was baptized. So tell somebody that Jesus was baptized and he'd have no sin whatsoever. We got all kind of sins, and some of us, we don't even want to be baptized. Is there another way we can be saved? You know, is there another way? Can we do it another way other than me going under that water? Because I just got my hair done, and I just, you know, I just can't do it. Are you with me? Or, you know, you might slip, right? And, you know, whatever. Yeah, whatever. He was tempted. And he was tempted right after that water, showing us that in the flesh we're going to be tempted also. Matthew 4:7. And you see, the devil, he knew that you don't tempt God. Amen? The Bible says, even early on, it says, you don't tempt God in Deuteronomy 6:16. You don't tempt God. But the devil tempted Jesus because he was what? In the flesh. Amen? You don't tempt God. No man, the devil knew better, but he, since Jesus was in the flesh, that example he gave, that we're going to be tempted also. You know? Don't think that you're not going to be tempted, because you are. I am. I don't care how good you look, how much money you got in your pocket, you're going to be tempted. How much you know, you're going to be tempted. Tempted. And sometimes we tempt our own selves. But we're going to be tempted. Jesus in the flesh, he was hungered just like us. He hungered just like us. Matthew 4:2. He thirsts just like we did. John 19:28. He got tired just like we get tired. John 4:6. And sometimes, you know, we get tired of being tired. Yet he taught us this. He says, not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. So don't give up. Don't get too tired that you can't go no more. Keep going. Just keep going. You know, just like we said before, we think we got a long time here. It's a short time. It ain't that much work we got left. Just do it and do it good. Because it ain't that long. You know, some of us are here 90 years old. And you ask them, right? You know, and they would say something like, just yesterday just yesterday I did, you know, and now it's gone so fast by. When you got long, just do the right thing. Seek the Lord while it's still time. Study. Do the right thing. Be able to pray for folks, because sure enough, we need that. We need that real bad. He slept. Mark 4. We think of Jesus as not, you know, as being Jesus. Why did he sleep? Because Psalms 121:4 says, God slumber nor sleep. But Jesus slept because he was in the flesh. He was in the flesh. Amen? And he said, you know, he's giving that example to us to sleep. You know how we are. If we don't get sleep, we just is, as ever, you know, all cranky and whatnot, you know. And then when we get our sleep, you know, we don't get sleep, we all cranky and treat me wrong, you treat me bad, right? And then the next time you get some sleep, then come into me like you're a kitten, just as sweet, you know. But I remember what you said to me last week. Are you with me? He's showing us that we need to sleep. Jesus slept. He slept. Jesus wept. John 11:35. You know, us men, we look at weeping as a weakness. So we don't want our girlfriends to see us cry. We don't want our wives to see us cry, because, you know, we're bad. You know, We don't cry, but Jesus wept. He was compassionate enough to weep, to cry. There are tears of sorrow and there's tears of joy. We sing that song, trouble in my way. I got to cry sometimes. And that's true. It's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come. Some of us can't sit down and look at a movie without crying. And ain't none of that stuff true on TV, right? But you know, just crying, oh, June, why you did that to Junie? And Junie, he up there getting an Oscar for that, So we're gonna weep sometimes. We're gonna weep. Jesus got angry. Mark 11:15, in the flesh. We're gonna get angry, but sin not. Amen? In the flesh now, in the flesh. He was bullied in the flesh. He was mocked in the flesh. Matthew 27:27-30. We're gonna be bullied. I don't like being bullied, right? But I know it's gonna happen. I don't like being teased or mocked, but I know it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. And Jesus is saying, if it happened to me, guess what? It's going to happen to you too, Kenny. I remember, like I told you before, I remember one time I was in an altercation on the job, right? I lost a lot of money over that, all right? I was foolish. I felt for it, right? And I got in a fight on my job. I ran the job, my personal job. I let that foolish young man get the best of me. And then it happened, right? And then I got to preach on Sunday. This happened some years back when I was at Jefferson Street, and I had to preach on Sunday. And I said, Lord, I said, why did this happen? Why, Lord? And an answer came to me. I'm not going to say the Lord said it, but an answer came to me and said, why not you? Who are you that these things are going to happen to? You just let it get the best of you. You were supposed to do like I did, but you didn't. You see, you tried to answer it your way. And I was... And I suffered for that. I lost the job. They ran me off the job. I had to load up my equipment to leave. It was embarrassing. But I see it now. I see it clearly. I see what I did. I see it now. And if it happened again, I probably could do it a little bit better. He was bullied and mocked. Jesus even hated something. He actually hated something. We know God is love. We know that's who God is, but he actually hated something. And what he hated was sin. Amen? He hated sin. Proverbs 6:16-19. God hated sin, but he loved the sinner. That don't sound too right, but it's true. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. The Bible teaches us that while we were yet sinners, he loved us. He died for us. Amen? You see? But he hates sin. And if he hates sin, we ought to hate sin too. Are you with me? Sin ought to be our enemy, just like it's God's enemy. Amen? But sometimes some folks, right, they get the joy and pleasure out of sin. Sin, it ain't harming nobody. I give my offerings, I come to church, but, I do a little sin, but Jesus says stay away from stuff like that. Even the thought of that, stay away from it, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I think in James it says if you sin in one tittle, you said that you don't mess the whole. You sin in all. Amen. You sin in all. He taught Matthew 5. We got to teach. Go ye therefore and teach. We got to be able to teach. Before we teach, we got to know what to teach. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Right? We have to study. We have to teach, just like Jesus taught. It's not that, you know, when I'm saved, I'm going home and lock up and I'm going to stay out of trouble. You know, I'm going to lock the door, you know, and I'm safe there. No, that's not what he's telling us to do. Go ye therefore. We got to get out there. We got to go to the grocery store sometime. Teach. We got to go to the gas station. Teach. Are you with me? We got to go to the doctor's office. Teach. And, you know, the doctors, you know, they think because they, you know, giving me medicine and taking care of me, I can't tell them nothing because they know it all. Know it all, doctors, you know. You know, doctor going to tell me, he said, would you take your medication? I said, yeah, I missed a couple of times. He said it like this. He said, well, you know, I'm not saying, you know, it's you. If you don't want to take it, it's on you. You know, he ain't got to tell me that. You know, I know, you know, I slipped some, you know, I didn't even have to tell you that I didn't take it. I could have lied and said, yeah, I take it all the time. But I told him the truth. You know, I slipped a couple of times, you know, and he got all nasty, right? Like he, you know, like, you know, I can't make you take it, you know, you ought to know that you need to take it, right? And right then I should have said, but I didn't. I said, do you know the Lord? It wasn't in my mouth, right? Because I was mad for what he said. Anyway, Jesus was stressed. He was stressed out. John 12:27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. He was stressed out. He's saying to us in the flesh, we're going to what? Get stressed. We're going to be stressed out sometimes. We're going to want to quit. That's it. Right? I ain't being no more Christian. That's it. I'm going back into the ground, right? He said, no, you know, look what I'm doing. I'm stressed, right? I'm stressed. Keep on going. John 12:27. Matthew 26, chapter, verses 27. And he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as my will, but as thou wilt. We ask the question, why did Jesus even ask something like that? Because he was in the flesh. That flesh was saying, Jesus, let's quit before we get killed. Let's quit. Let's try another way. Let's find another way, Jesus. You know, because we gonna mess around and get killed. But Jesus says, not my will, but your will, Lord. You see, the flesh wanna quit. The flesh sometimes get afraid. The flesh wanna find another way of doing it. We can't stop short of the goal. You see, we're in a race and we're running the race. We don't run the race and come up to the goal and stop. We got to cross over. Amen? We got to cross over. That's how we win. We see the Olympics, right? When they run, the one in first place, just because he's in first place, he don't come and stop at the line. He what? Cross over. Amen? And then number two, he crosses over. Three, cross, four. Are you with me? That's when you finish, when you cross over. You see, but sometimes, you know, we have some Christians, some folks who come to the line and stop. You don't get it. You don't get your prize if you stop. You got to cross over. You got to cross over. Jesus didn't listen to the flesh. He kept his Father's will. Amen? And we ought to keep God's will also. Because God's will, God knows what he's doing. He know exactly what he's doing in this world that we're in now. You see the stuff that's going on? You see, we got to be thankful for that example that Jesus gave us. You see, many don't even know Jesus. They don't even believe in Jesus, right? But for those of us who do, we know what's happening. He came. And, you know, and for the folks who don't believe, you know, how could you look up in the skies and you can't see the roof? You ain't no roof up there. Ain't no stop, right? It's something extending way, you know. You know, what did Benjamin Franklin do that? No. George Washington? No. Who did it? Jesus. But I don't believe Jesus. Huh? I don't believe that Jesus. Jesus. He was the only one who could fulfill God's will. Nobody else could. No angels. Nobody. If it took, if someone think it could have taken two or three men, they couldn't do it. Only Jesus. God gave us out of heaven the best gift that could be given. That was Jesus. To fulfill his will. To show us how it ought to be done. Amen? And we don't have no excuse now. We don't have no excuse right now if we just follow Jesus. In closing, because I see some heads nodding, and I know how it is. You know, I know that you stayed up too late last night and looking at that. It was a good show on. Yes, it was. You know, yes, it was, right? But, you know, it's a strange thing. You know, you could be looking at TV at a good movie, right? And you'll go to sleep on it, right? And then ain't nothing on, right? You know, you cannot go to sleep. But it has to be a real good movie on to put you, you know, to put you out. Ain't that something? But that's us. That's how we are. Matthew, the 17th chapter, in closing, verse 1 through 8. In closing. And the Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the clouds, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus. Jesus is the only one. The only one. We have to believe that. He's the only one who could fulfill God's will. I can't do it. You know, I can't do it. You can't do it. If you help me to try to do it, we can't do it. Only Jesus could do it. If you are here and you're not a member of the church, there's a plan that Jesus left for us. He left this plan for us. We must hear his word. Hear what? That Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he suffered and died on the cross, and on the third day rose with all powers in his hands. We must believe that. We can't get around it. We must believe it. We must repent. Turn around. Turn away. Come this way. Don't go that way no more. Come Jesus' way. Amen. We must repent. We must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God by our mouth. We must confess it with our mouth that he is the Son of the living God. Be baptized in water like how he was. He didn't have no sin now, but that flesh, he gave us an example of baptism. He gave us that example. So who am I not to be baptized if he did? You know, who am I? After that, stay faithful in God's grace. Continue to come to worship. Worship together. Don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. Keep coming together. Because, like I said before, we ain't got that long. It ain't that long. You know, I know the young folks, they think it's a long time, right? But I was young just a few days ago. Ain't that right, Jared? You know? And look at me now. Look at me now. Just a few days ago, I was young. And look at me now. It ain't long. We ain't got that long here. So just do what God would have you to do. Come to worship. Don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. Come, sing together, give together, commune together, pray together, teach together, learn together, and above all, love one another. If you are here, you are a member and you are in need of prayer, as we together stand and sing the song that was appointed, you may ask for prayers at this time.